Good morning and welcome to a cold and chilly Tuesday morning show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Callowine.
Good morning, Phil. And what were you up to on this first a little bit warm and then cold weekend and first part of the week?
Well, with the fresh snow, we had to go out and play. So some friends and I went up and over Gold Hill.
Wow, that's a good snowshoe.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun, especially we were the first ones at the Trailhead parking lot, so we got to break fresh snow. That's always good.
That's a good start to the snowy season. What I will say that I did was both kinds of skiing, some Nordic and some Alpine, and it was sure fun.
Oh, that's great. So we have a wonderful set of guests in this morning. In the first half of the show, we'll be talking about the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee and some of their products. With us are, I think, founding members, Susan Drumheller. Say hi, Susan.
Hi, how's it going?
And Eric Grace.
Good morning.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the Bonner County Trail Mix and how both those individuals came to it with their respective organizations in a moment. But first, we want to go to the weather for those who haven't been outside. It's cold, in a word. Right now, it's 9 degrees. I think it was a little warmer at my house, but not much. Today is supposed to be sunny with a high of 17 degrees. Clear tonight with a low of 5 degrees. I think, isn't tonight the full moon bike ride for those who are so willing?
Sure looked like a full moon last night. Must be tonight.
So bundle up if you do decide to do that. On Wednesday, we're going to have a few clouds moving in, but mostly it's still going to be sunny with a high of 20 degrees. Wednesday night, snow's in the forecast, about a 30% chance with a low of 14 degrees. Thursday warms up a little bit, a high of 25 with a chance of snow, and then that kind of continues through the rest of the week. We see this pattern of continuing cold temperatures, a chance of snow, and winter, it's here.
I guess it's okay with me, Phil, from Minnesota, but you know, this is the coldest weather I've experienced in Idaho since 2015. I suppose everyone else has noticed that.
Well, winters are very unique here. Each winter has its own personality.
Variable.
So let's turn to our topic at hand in the first half hour here, the Trail Mix Committee. So Susan Drumheller, formerly a staffer with the Idaho Conservation League and now working as a contracted grant writer for a number of projects, is or was the co-chair of the Bonner County Trail Mix?
Actually, I've served as secretary for the last couple years, and I just got reappointed as secretary again. Do you want me to give a brief history?
Let's move through the introductions first. Okay. And then come back to a history. Eric Grace, who's the executive director of the Kinnexu Land Trust, has been involved with the Bonner County Trail Mix for quite a while. And Eric, tell us a little bit about your role.
I came on, I've been the director for the Kinnexu Land Trust for about 5 years, and concurrently that when I was starting my position there, the Trail Mix, I think, was forming, and so Susan realized that there's a lot of overlap in the work that Kinnexu Land Trust does and what the Trail Mix was trying to do, so she brought me on, and it's been a really interesting process to take a look at what the Trail Mix is trying to do and framed within the work of the Kinnexu Land Trust.
For those of us who haven't heard of the Trail Mix, what is the Trail Mix?
Well, this grew out of an effort basically that was launched by the Friends of the Pendere Bay Trail to try to get interjurisdictional cooperation amongst the cities and the county for the Pendere Bay Trail, which crosses jurisdictions. But as we started working on that, we realized that there were, you know, I mean, obviously there are other trails that cross jurisdictions. And Idaho Conservation League had an intern who'd done a white paper project on trail projects around the county and found that there was a real need for more cooperation and collaboration amongst all the different groups and trail advocates in the county. So we broadened our effort and we formed the Trail Mix Committee. We stole the name from a similar type committee in Moab, Utah.
So this isn't about people sitting around talking about the balance of peanuts and raisins and M&Ms in their gorp. It's not that kind of Trail Mix.
No, but we did serve Trail Mix when we had a booth at the Bonner County Fair year before last when we rolled out our trail plan and got feedback because it just seemed like it fit.
So if I am understanding correctly, it started with emphasis on the one trail right in Sandpoint, and it's certainly grown from there. Lots of entities, cities, and then the county.
Yeah, we've got most of the nonprofit groups. We've got state and federal agencies. The latest group to join was Backcountry Horsemen. We've got an ATV group, Panhandle Riders are part of it. So we really try to, you know, address the interests of everybody who's, you know, passionate about trails and developing trails, maintaining trails in Bonner County.
And we're going to talk about the details of the trail mix, but let's just talk about exactly what type of users might benefit from the trail mix's success. Hikers, more than just hikers.
Well, I think, as Susan just alluded to, really anybody who enjoys spending time out of doors, whether that's horse people, whether that's the ATV, the motorcyclists, obviously the hikers, the snowshoers, the cross-country skiers, the trail runners, the walkers, the folks who just want to be outside to get some exercise or to get rejuvenated, whatever the motivation is. It also includes the North Idaho bikeways, so we are taking a look at some of the transportation trails as well, like the Dover Byway, the trail that runs parallel to 95 down through Sagal. So really any non, what would you call it? It's not non-motorized, but anybody who wants to use trails to their benefit.
Non-automotive, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly, the focus has been mostly non-motorized, but we certainly want to accommodate the motorized interests too.
So there's a good mix of people, represented groups and all. When you get together, what are the kind of things you discuss and hope to achieve?
Well, our work has been focused mostly on the Bonner County Trail Plan over the last couple of years. Now we're looking at implementing that. The trail plan came about when we had the opportunity to work with Trust for Public Land. They have GIS expertise, and they come in and work with the community to put together plans, whether it's a trail plan or something they call a green print. We brought them in to work on a countywide trail plan, and that was about a year and a half, almost a two-year process. And if somebody wants to look at the plan, they can go online at www.tpl.org/Bonner-County-Trails. And you can look at the trail plan online there. And it was a really great process, kind of intense. I don't think we captured everything, but what we did was we tried to identify the existing trails in the county and identify potential new trails and identify where the gaps are and where we need to do some work to have a more connected system.
And it's my understanding that this was the first time that a real comprehensive evaluation of the current trails that are in existence was done. I know the county had done some work in the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. So this grew out of that process. But this process brought in all of the various stakeholders, like the mountain bike community, the Kinnickzu Land Trust, for example, all of the folks who were using trails, and really chronicled what's out there and where those groups would like to see some expansion if possible.
So tell us a little bit more about how the state of the trails are. Tell us what it found in terms of the resources that exist for trails and the gaps.
Well, I should have some of the data on my fingertips, but we identified, many, many miles of trail needs, and we created a list of priorities. And I think that's where where this is most helpful, is helping us to prioritize our work. The folks from Trust for Public Land came away saying, boy, you guys have a pretty ambitious list of trails here. I mean, I think it was over 100 miles of new trail connections that we identified,
but we broke it down. You'd like to have built?
Yeah, like with the Watershed Crest Trail, for instance. That's a big one. That ended up being like one of the number one priorities. And then we identified who the trail champions would be, who would kind of lead that effort. And the thing about Trail Mix is we have the opportunity to get everybody in the room to kind of help work out problems. And I think it's already generated some ideas on how to work together and helped connect people who are trying to do trail projects to, connect with other people to kind of overcome some obstacles that might come up.
For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. That's listener-supported community radio for Northern Idaho. If you're just joining us now, know that you can listen later to a podcast, and you'll be able to do that by going to krfy.org. You can live stream us there as well.
And this morning, we're in the studio with Susan Drumheller and Eric Grace from the Bonner County Trail Mix.
Yeah, and I would like to just add one more thing to Susan's comments. One of the most interesting things that came out of this planning process was a real call for better dissemination of the current trails that do exist, of the information about those trails. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of miles of wonderful trails here in Bonner County, but oftentimes it's difficult for somebody who doesn't know where they are to actually go and get that information so they can be a user.
Are there access problems? A lot of these trails are on public land, but some might cross private land with easements or other jurisdictions.
Yes. Yeah, there are access problems in some places, and I think those are identified in here. But just to follow up on what Eric was saying, one of the first things that we're doing as a committee is we're trying to put together a website where you can go to find information about trails. So it's dedicated to trails where you'll be able to, you know, link to maps for existing trails, and then also link to information about potential future trails, and perhaps have a calendar of, you know, trail projects, work parties, events, that sort of thing.
Well, there are a lot of steps to connecting trails, I would think, between contacting landowners, getting permission, the municipalities, getting the work actually done. You described that you divide up the work, but let's talk a little bit more about that. How exactly does that work? Do they go to the individual nonprofits, come to Trails Committee?
Well, everybody has to. I mean, one thing we agreed was that we can't, as the Trail Mix Committee, tackle all these projects as a committee. We have to have champions. And so, for instance, Pondere Peddlers Bike Club, they're working on the Watershed Crest Trail. But they're connected with all these other entities to get help when they need it. And every trail project is different and has its own set of circumstances, difficulties, steps. There's some in here where the county has agreed to be the champion. Friends of the Pondere Bay Trail obviously champions the Pondere Bay Trail. So some of these projects don't have champions yet, but there's plenty of work to be done on the ones that do have champions.
So the process started with some interest from folks working on the Pondere Bay Trail. Now that it's been around for how many years?
Just the Trail Mix Committee has been around for a little over 2 years, about 2.5 years,
so
almost three.
Has it achieved some success with regards to the Pondere Bay Trail's needs?
Well, really, the bulk of our existence has been putting this plan together, and now we're trying to figure out how to implement it. And one of the first things we're doing, because we found out through a survey that was done that there was a great need for information, is putting together this website. At the same time, the individual trail champions are working on their respective projects.
Champions seem like really a key piece to the entire idea. Was that your own idea, or did that also come from the other Trail Mix organization?
Well, it's just sort of the way things happen. And I think we recognize that Trail Mix as an organization is pretty loose-knit and doesn't have a way to really implement developing trails except to facilitate everybody working together on these projects, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think a good example of a champion would also be the Dover to Newport trail that's being proposed. That's being championed by Liz Gebhardt Johnson. There was just recently some press about that. She certainly is a very active member within the Trail Mix Committee. This is sort of her, in quotes, project. But the Trail Mix will certainly provide support and technical assistance whenever she needs it.
Yeah, and she's with the Priest Community Forest Connection organization. So technically they would be the champion. She's the director of that organization.
Right. So the website you've mentioned a couple of times for resources, is that available yet, or is there an anticipated date when it will be?
No, it's not available yet. We're still working on the concept, the name, and all that stuff.
So coming soon.
Yeah.
Very soon, we hope.
So let's delve a little deeper into this trail plan and where you see it taking the county's trail system in the future, down the road or down the trail a few years from now. How will this the implementation of this plan impact the future of the trail system?
Well, I should have studied up on some of these, some of my details here.
In broad strokes.
Well, in broad strokes. I think we would see a more connected system, so you'd be able to, get from the lake to the mountains more easily, for instance. I think we just have more opportunities for getting from point A to point B without having to get in a car, you know, from Dover to Ponderé, for instance. You know, some key trails in Ponderé are along Highway 200, so you can get off the narrow highway there. You know, just some of the lateral connections throughout these communities that are, you know, right here around Sandpoint, I think are really key just for making it safer for kids and everybody else to get around on a bike or on foot even. So I think that's really key. I think it helps promote that. I think one thing that this helps a lot with is getting money. If you have had, you know, a real deliberate, intentional planning process that involves the public, one of the key things is then you can take this out to funders or, you know, for federal or state or other grants, and it's much easier to get funding because they can see that it's down there, it's written on paper, and some of the entities are going to be adopting this as part of their comprehensive plans, and that makes it a lot easier for us to get funding too. And
you're talking about funding for the construction
for building
of new
trails. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or purchasing property, you know, mm-hmm. You know, getting easements, that sort of thing.
And along the lines of trail connections, I'm thinking of areas like Highway 2, and a lot of those areas are really kind of skinny little areas where a railroad's going through and a river and highway, and, you know, you've got a skinny little road right-of-way. So is the hope that there will be a dedicated bike lane or a separate bike trail, not just biking but hiking? Is that kind of where it's going? Or
One thing we did when we did this was we went out and we did verification, or what did we call it?
Ground truthing.
And, you know, the members of the Trail Mix Committee and other volunteers went out and checked out these potential trails. And in some cases, it's like, you know, there's not room to do a separated path. What we need is just signage on the road that says, you know, share the road or whatever. Or, you know, so every situation is different. Ideally, it'd be great to have separated bike paths all over the place, but that just isn't possible and probably not affordable in a lot of cases.
So the planning really moves to an arena where we're talking about land use options, whether they're management decisions on public lands or on private lands, easements that you just mentioned. So this is worked in or tiered into another product from the Trail Mix Committee, the Green Print.
Yeah, when we brought in the folks, the GIS team from Trust for Public Land, and they described their process for doing this, they talked about the larger Green Print process, which is a land conservation planning process. And maybe Eric, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, the Green Print is broader than just trail use. The Green Print was a process that we went through as a committee with deep community engagement, basically identifying areas within the sort of the greater Sandpoint region that had significant natural values that would probably be better remain as conservation land. And so we engaged the many segments of the community, the farm and ranching community, drawing a blank, timber community, those folks who are engaged in land use issues and decisions, and went through the process using Geographic Information System, which is GIS, which took a look at, you know, those areas that we as a community hold dear to be kept as natural areas, whether it's important for water quality, whether it's important soils for farming, whether it's important timber resources or important places for agriculture, and went through a process and sort of came out on the other end of that, having some mapping technology that we can use or municipalities can use as they're taking a look at planning and issues of future growth to say, well, maybe these areas should be left as open space, and so we should focus our development elsewhere. Important to note that this is all voluntary. There's no regulatory authority that goes along with the Green Print. These are just places that we as a community have determined are best suited for conservation. Again, it's after that, then it's up to the municipalities or the nonprofits who are working in the conservation arena to work with those landowners on a volunteer basis.
So just to add to that, the information came from a lot of different sources. We tapped Fish and Game, DEQ, other agencies, Forest Service, lots of different sources of information, Bonner County Soil and Conservation District. There was lots of data that went into layers to create these maps. And we prioritized things that had to do with water quality, working lands, wildlife, and recreation. And so all those, all that information was layered over, and then areas popped out as being higher priority. And one area that really popped out was the whole Pack River corridor. And so that's kind of helped generate discussion about what can we do to, you know, protect the Pack River. And, you know, again, as a, you know, through voluntary means. It just helps groups like Kinnickzu Land Trust and, you know, folks who are working on water quality prioritize their work.
So it's really a vision that helps set forward future processes.
Yes.
And again, to just clarify what the GIS is about, it's one that really grabs opinions from all areas of the community, and basically it layers up. You get your highest values where everyone's in agreement.
Well, it actually took a look at data, and then there was sort of the, there was some human preferences that were,
so common
that helped us weigh certain data higher than other data. So it was how we weighted the data was where our opinions came in.
The values of various groups.
And this grew out of the trail mix effort and the trail planning, but it was a separate process.
Mm-hmm. And so I understand part of this process, Kinnickzu Land Trust is putting into play. And Eric, you have some big announcement. We have a KRFY exclusive scoop this morning.
Well, thank you, Phil. Yeah, we have been for the last couple of years working with a private landowner up on the Pine Street Hill area, just west of Sandpoint. We've identified this parcel as something that the Kinnickzu Land Trust would be very interested in owning. We want a place where we can do our education programming. It's a place where we want to provide opportunities for hiking and for mountain biking and for quiet recreation in nature. We're also getting heavily involved in using the outdoors for mental and physical health. Maybe you've heard about the park prescription program that we're doing, trying to get kids outdoors. So for the last 2 years, we've been negotiating with this landowner who owns 160 acres, and we're really excited to announce that we have finally come to terms with this landowner. We have signed a purchase contract for this 160 acres. We have about 2 years to raise a little bit in excess of over $1 million. But once we raise that money, the Kinnickzu Land Trust will own this land. We will have a trailhead parking lot for folks to access it. We will put in trails that can be used by all levels of user groups. So there will be more technical trails and trails that have, you know, steep hills. And then there will also be more flat trails where folks who maybe don't have the fitness level of a lot of the outdoor enthusiasts can also go up and use. So you will be hearing a lot more about this in the next couple of weeks. But certainly we are, I think, piggybacking on the success of the Pendere Bay Trail by providing additional opportunities for folks who'd like to get out and recreate or use, you know, outdoor spaces for education or health to provide them that opportunity.
It sounds like a real gem for the community. Do you have a working name for it?
We do. We're calling it the Pine Street Woods right now. It's adjacent to the Sherwood Forest. Many of you probably know of that property. It's a 140-acre parcel that's used extensively for trails. One of the problems with that particular trail system is it's the trails are fairly technical, and you have to be at a certain fitness level to really enjoy them. This is going to be 160 acres that's adjacent to that, so it's not going to it will provide potential access, but it's not going to require the fitness that might be needed for the Sherwood Forest.
So the two will connect together.
Certainly they will connect together, yeah.
Much like a ski hill might expand in, from an aggressive terrain area and acquire the property to do some moderate or beginner use, it'll be more of a mixed development then.
Precisely. And just to clarify, the Kinnickzu Land Trust does not own the Sherwood Forest. That's still private property. So we need to be very sensitive to the community overusing that piece. So the other nice thing about us taking on the Pine Street Woods property is we hope it's going to alleviate some of the heavy use that the Sherwood Forest is currently getting. It will be more easily accessible And but we will be linking the two for sure.
So the future of the Pine Street Woods, will that be a Kinnick-Sioux managed property, or will it be a county or city managed?
No, we're gonna maintain ownership of this. It's in the city of Dover, and we do have their endorsement of the project. They're very excited to see this happening. But Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, as an entity, will own this property. We will continue paying taxes on the land, so there's not going to be any reduction in the tax base for the city. We will then be charged with the trail maintenance and providing the programming and using the property appropriately.
And it's a bit of a departure for you then, because often you do conservation easements and that sort of thing in order to secure land. So this is a big deal.
This is a big deal for us. We do own a couple of parcels. We own one over in Montana, right on the state line, that we use for a lot of our Clark Fork school education programming. But we've come to the realization that there is a tremendous demand for trails that are close to the population centers of Dover, Ponderé, and Sandpoint. So this property is a unique opportunity for us to acquire land, satisfy that need for close-to-home access, and a place for us to do our programming, which is more and more we're getting engaged in getting people outside, and this is an opportunity now for us to have a permanent home for those types of programming.
It also sounds like a project that's going to require some assistance. How can people help, contributing and otherwise?
Well, you're absolutely right, Phil. This is going to be a huge lift for the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust. We are the total project budget is about $2.1 million. We're really excited to announce that we've already received $1.1 million in funding. So we still have a long way to go. We have, if you do the math, it's not that hard, about $1 million to raise. So we are going to be doing a fairly extensive capital campaign in the next 24 months to raise that money. But in addition to that, there's going to be a lot of trail development that has to happen. We really want to have extensive community input into how we're using the property. So we will be talking to all of the other various groups that are out there that do trail work, like the Ponderé Peddlers and the Friends of the Ponderé Bay Trail, the various municipalities, Sandpoint, Dover, Ponderé, to get a sense of what they envision this property could be best used for, framed within the need of it being open space. Certainly, we also plan on working closely with the city of Dover and Bonner County to have their input. And then any community member that is interested in seeing how this property is developed for, open space, recreation, education, feel free to give us a call. We have a website. It's www.kinnick-sioux.org. From there, you can find our information, or you can give me a call at 263-9471.
Well, this is exciting news. We're about to take a musical break while we collectively wrap our heads around the creation of this new gem for Sandpoint. And I think there's probably a lot more, but the song coming up is Nothing But Flowers. And I think out there there's more than just Nothing But Flowers.
Well, there's a lot of trees and a lot of tansy as well, so we're working on that.
So stay tuned, and after the music break, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Trail Mix and then bring Tom Dabrowski from Idaho Trails Association in. He'll talk about that and a little bit of the Toys for Tots drive. Tom also works with the Lions Club, so a lot of exciting things coming up.
And for those of you just joining us and listening to voices, you've been hearing Susan Drumheller, an independent grant writer, and Eric Grace from the Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust.
All right, Nothing But Flowers. Nothing But Flowers from the Talking Heads. Not that we're talking heads this morning, but we do have a lot of guests in the studio. And first of all, if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Supported Radio for North Idaho. We've been talking with Susan Drumheller and Eric Grace from the Bonner County Trail Mix. Susan had to leave at the music break, but we still have Eric here. And soon we're going to be turning attention to Tom Dabrowski, another member of the Bonner County Trail Mix, also here with the Idaho Trails Association and the Lions Club Toy for Tots Drive. Tom, you're one busy guy.
Yes, I am.
But before we finish off the conversation that we were just having about the new acquisition of parcel land, or hopefully the new acquisition, the new arrangement for an acquisition, for a new gem on the west side of Sandpoint over near Dover.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. And you're right, it is not yet secured. We have not actually acquired title to this piece, but we do have a signed purchase and sale agreement with the landowner. The closing date for that purchase sale agreement is in March of 2019. That seems like a long time away from now, over 2 years, but we need to raise over $1 million to do it. So that's why we've afforded ourselves that length of time, and we're very thankful for the landowner for agreeing to give us this this 2 years to raise the money.
And as you said before, it's going to take a combination of donations, volunteers, and organizing everything.
It is doing a major capital campaign of this sort, and opening up a preserve of this sort is very labor intensive, but it's something that the Kinnickesy Land Trust board of directors and the staff really debated seriously and very deeply, and we realized that this is the direction, the future direction that the Kinnickesy Land Trust wants to go. We need to be providing opportunities for people of all skill levels and all abilities to have access to the natural world. I do want to be sure to clarify, though, that our normal conservation easement programs, in other words, working with private landowners, whether they're ranch lands, timberlands, other areas that have important natural values, we're still going to be doing those types of projects. So this is going to be something in addition to the traditional work that the Kinnickesy Land Trust has done.
So, Eric, if people have more questions about this, if they're just hearing about it now for the first time, as they are, and they want to find out more, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can find out more information about the Kinnickesy Land Trust at our website, kinnickesy.org. We are in the process of developing a special web page that will feature the Pine Street Woods project. That's not live yet, but we hope to have that live by the end of this week. If you're not online, feel free to give me a call. Our number at the office is 263-9471. Again, 263-9471. And I would happily talk to you about this project.
Well, thank you, Eric. And the Bonner County Trail Mix, if people want to find out more information about that, there is a website where they can do that.
Exactly. The current trail plan is available online, and the URL for that is, I know it's on www.tpl.org. Again, that's TPL, which is an acronym for Trust for Public Land, .org. And I'm sorry, I can't find the actual the full link address to it. But if you go to tpl.org, then there's a search function, and you can just plug in Bonner County Trail Plan, and you'll be able to get to it through that avenue. Or if you're having trouble, feel free to give me a call again at 263-9471, and I can steer you in the direction for how to find that.
Thank you, Eric. It's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thanks very much. And we're moving from Trail Mix to trails, etc. Trails,
trail
lions.
Maintenance.
That's right. Tom, you may get called for the new trail system.
Well, that's what we're here for.
I think, Tom, to introduce Tom properly, Tom is the current president of the Idaho Trails Association, mm-hmm. active on trail issues and matters, and as a volunteer has helped out on a number of trail projects in North Idaho. And Tom, you're also a member of the Trail Mix Committee, aren't you?
That's correct. Yes, when I got involved with the Idaho Trails Association, I became aware of the Bonner County Trail Mix Committee. Seemed like something I should be involved in. So I talked with Commissioner Kelly and with Susan and got myself invited onto the Trail Mix Committee. And it's a really, really interesting group. I mean, the fundamental purpose is to identify what we have today and how we can take disparate pieces and hook them up to get more connected trails, and really have done some excellent work. And I want to thank Eric for what the Kinnickesy Land Trust is doing with this new piece of land up there by Sherwood Forest. Sherwood Forest is clearly a gem here in our community, gets lots of use, as he mentioned earlier, and this is a great way to expand that great recreational area for our community.
It shows how the many entities are working together. When I was reading about the Trail Mix Committee, I was saying again that it was three cities, the county, and 19 entities, and it looks like we've got two of the entities right here. So takes a bunch of folks to make these things work, and some money too.
It takes a lot of capacity.
It does, and I think one of the real strengths of the Trail Mix Committee, I know we touched on it a little bit, but I want to call it out specifically, is this is now a venue for all of these various groups, like the BLM, the Forest Service, Idaho Department of Lands, Fish and Game, the county, the various municipalities, and then, of course, all of the nonprofit groups that are engaged. It gives them a forum to really meet, to convene, to talk about what they're doing, so that the work that each of the individual entities is doing is not being done in a vacuum, which doesn't help anybody, because you know you need to know what else is going on there. You can leverage resources, you can leverage time and staff and expertise if everybody knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So a great summary for the Trails Mix Commission. Thank you, Eric, for joining us today. And
thank you.
Probably time to move on to the Idaho Trails Association. A lot going on there.
Yes, there is. So once you've identified the trails, then you have to maintain those trails to keep them available to people. Interesting statistic about the state of Idaho. Beautiful state. We have lots of trails. I've been told that we have 23,000 miles of trails in the state of Idaho. That's an impressive number. I've also been told that the land managers, the Forest Service and the BLM, have enough money to maintain only 6,000 miles of those trails. So basically a quarter of the number of trails that are out there. Idaho's interesting in another way. Years ago, the motorized recreation groups recognized that with all of the motorized recreation trails, they had to come up with money to maintain those trails. And so what they did is they agreed to have licensing, they agreed to have to pay fees to be able to use their off-road vehicles, and so they agreed to pay for their play. And so in the state of Idaho annually, the state collects over $2 million in fees and taxes that are to be used specifically and only for maintenance of motorized recreational trails. In the state of Idaho, there's less than $100,000 a year to work on non-motorized trails. So a big disparity there. One of the things that we say in the non-motorized trail community is we're going to have to pay to play. We're going to have to find a way to develop the money to pay for trail maintenance. I mean, I'm a volunteer. I go and volunteer with lots of different organizations to maintain trails, and I'm an unpaid volunteer. But from time to time, the organizations will provide some Gatorade and some cookies, and they provide tools. Those things all cost money. And so we have to raise money, and we have to have volunteers out willing to do the work. So one of the reasons I'm here today is we're having a membership drive in the Idaho Trails Association. We're a new organization. We only started 6 years ago. And we need more people to volunteer to come out and work on trails. We need to have more people join the Idaho Trails Association and pay their membership dues. That's one of the ways that we raise money. We also go and request grants from different organizations, for example, REI. We get some really nice grant money from REI because they're very much into maintaining the trail system we have today. There has been tremendous pressure on the federal government to do a better job of maintaining these trails. For example, here in Idaho, in the Frank Church Wilderness, a huge wilderness complex in central Idaho, the trails that were built in there, mostly in the Depression era through public works projects, have not been maintained for years, and they're degenerating to the point where you just can't get through. So the Guides and Outfitters Associations put tremendous pressure on the congressional delegation. We need to do something. We paid for these trails years ago, and we're letting this tremendous asset fall into disrepair to the point where it can no longer be used. And so there's been new legislation passed that has to do with volunteer organizations that encourages the government to use volunteer organizations. And so it's encouraging to see that sort of thing happen, but it's clear we need more volunteers to do more work.
So it sounds like there might be several mechanisms to improve our hiking and biking trails. Volunteering is one of them. Legislation is another. Lots to work on, though, in order for us to get more access to our hiking trails. I'll break in and mention that for those of you who are just joining us, we're at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio. Community radio for North Idaho. You're here on the Tuesday morning show with Phil Huff and myself, Julie Calamine. If you didn't catch all of our morning show, you can certainly listen to it later on our podcast, which you will find at krfy.org. And we're being, at this part of our, during this segment of our morning show, we are being joined by Tom Dabrowski of, well, many, many organizations, but for the moment, Idaho Trails Association. He's also with the local Lions and also on the Trail Mix Committee.
Here in Bonner County, I'm also, this week I'll be down in Coeur d'Alene working with the Forest Service in the Coeur d'Alene area on their trail planning. Most of the land managers have gotten the message. The message is we have an incredible trail system, excuse me, in the state of Idaho, but it's really falling into disrepair. We don't have enough money to keep it in good shape. So how are we going to fix that problem? We're going to have more people come out and help.
Yeah, and for that capacity, it takes an organization with some heft to be able to coordinate that number of volunteers. And that that costs money, that takes time, it takes staff time, and it takes resources. Mm-hmm. You need the equipment, the tools, the thank yous to the volunteers, also the logistics supplies that go along with all that. So that's where Idaho Trails Association can come in.
Yes, we're a coordinator. The good news is we have people that volunteer with us and work with us who are experts on trail maintenance. Our executive director, a fellow by the name of Jeff Halligan, for 20 years he was the trail crew leader for the Frank Church Wilderness. And he knows everything there is to know about maintaining trails in wild areas. So we've got the experts who know how to do it best. And then they teach the rest of us. I was trained as a physicist, and now I'm a trail worker. And Jeff is the one who's taught me how to do that properly.
So I want to make sure we have some time for the Toys for Tots. But before we move on, how can once more, how can people help out the membership drive, also volunteering for projects?
Yes. What they can do is go to our website, idahotrailsassociation.org. And you'll see all kinds of information. The big drive right now is the membership drive. Please join. If you're unable to join, then please sign up on the website to get our periodic electronic information. We'll get you on our mailing list, so when there's a project coming up, we'll send you a notice of that so you can volunteer for those projects. By the way, we did 17 projects throughout the state of Idaho in 2016, and we're increasing by about 40% for 2017. So we're well over 20 projects for 2017.
And there are no shortage of projects for Northern Idaho. So having said that, we want to thank Tom for telling us about the membership drive.
You're welcome.
So, Tom, it's Christmas time, and I'm surprised you don't have your Santa suit on, because every year you play Santa, at least one version of Santa.
Well, thank you, Phil. The Sandpoint Lions Club started doing the local Toys for Tots in 1957. And last year we provided toys and gift certificates for about 900 kids here in our local communities. We do all of School District 84, which goes from Clark Fork all the way over, not quite to Priest River, and south to almost Athol, and then north, not to Bonner's Ferry, but close. So it's a big area. As I said, we did about 900 kids last year. We fed about 1,500 people, and we're currently have a fundraising drive going on. Our target is $50,000. It costs us $50,000 to do this program every year. And so we ask the community for donations. This year I've been in charge of buying the toys. We just finished a huge toy buying day or evening last week. at the local Walmart. We spent $14,000 in about an hour and a half. And we have tremendous fun doing that. Then the work comes. We have to inventory all of those toys. We have to price all the toys. And then we have to put them in our toy room. So we're currently doing two things. We're asking people for donations. And you can go to our website, sandpointlions.com. You can make donations in a number of different places around town, Columbia Bank, the Daily Bee office. We prefer cash donations. And the reason is that we get very good deals from the local toy vendors, from the Walmarts in the North 40s and the other folks here in town. They're very supportive of the program. But we also like to get toys, unused, new toys. We're also doing sign-ups for people that need the toys. And so Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, people can come to the Lion's Den, which is right next to the Bonner County Museum. Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 4:30, we're there to take sign-ups. And then we have... On the 19th, we'll have about 6,000 pounds of food delivered to the den. And then on December 20th, we have a huge amount of fun starting 6 o'clock in the evening. We take that 6,000 pounds of food and we put it in about 500 food boxes. And we ask people to come in and volunteer to help with that. And it's a lot of fun. And then on the 21st and 22nd are the giveaway days. So we officially open at 8 o'clock in the morning. We have people that start lining up at 2 in the morning. So my wife, Judy, who's president of the Lions Club this year, she and I usually arrive about 6 in the morning to let in really cold people into the den. There's really no reason to come at 2 o'clock in the morning because we have lots of toys. By the time we're done with our toy purchases, we'll have about 10,000 toys available.
My goodness. All right, so let me get this straight. You're collecting toys mm-hmm. for a number of days. People can go to the website. Then you're going to be packaging and distributing food, and then finally the toy giveaway.
Yes.
And tell us again where everyone can go online so that they get the dates right.
Sandpointlions.com is the website. Then there's also every day in the Daily Bee, you'll notice the little thermometer device with the little man there that talks about how much money we've raised as of that day. And there's detailed information on where you can contribute or where you can sign up. If your listeners know of any folks who are having a tough time, if they need help, please encourage them to sign up. And by encouraging them to sign up, we can help them with food. We can help them with toys, and that's really what this season is all about.
It sounds like a great way that the Lions are doing this. And I'm just going to mention that in previous Toys for Tots I've been involved in, it's been big emphasis on donating toys. I think it's great to do the cash donations. You guys get the gifts, and on it goes.
Yes,
it's a great event. Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in the studio today, Tom. We're getting short on time. If there's any last-minute announcements, any other things you're playing Santa on this season?
No, I'm pretty well swamped with what's going on right now with the Toys for Tots, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk about it. It's a great community program.
We appreciate you coming in, Tom, and we're going to move on to some of the upcoming events for the station and the community. So thank you for joining us this morning, Tom. And first up, we've got an event coming up with Viggo Mortensen.
Yes, and for those of you who have not heard about it, we have Captain Fantastic, the movie, coming to the Panada. That's going to be January 13th and 14th. And there will be an evening with Viggo Mortensen both nights, so you're going to want to come to that. You can get your tickets at Eichardt's, Evans Brothers, call us at the station at 265-2992, or go to teamautism247.com. You can also go to panada.org.
We also want to remind listeners that as 2016 comes to an end, 88.5 KRFY wants to thank our listeners, underwriters, volunteers, and members for your support. It takes a community. Your support helps bring quality commercial-free community radio to North Idaho and beyond. At this time, we're asking you to consider making an end-of-the-year donation to help KRFY start the new year off right. You can donate by going to the secure donate button on our website at krfy.org. And remember, by giving to KRFY, you're giving back to your community. Thank you. We hope your holiday is merry and bright and full of good cheer. We've got some upcoming events, Julie.
We sure do. And one that you might want to join would be tomorrow on the 14th, the Sandpoint Christmas Bird Count. Everyone's welcome to join. You're going to have to be in town early, though, at 6 a.m. at the Fifth Avenue Restaurant. If you want more info on that, you can reach Rich Del Carlo at 208-290-1405.
And also tomorrow, we've got the Wednesday morning edition of the KRFY Morning Show. Join hosts Susie Perez and Chris Bessler. Their guests will be Dick Krismar from the Schweitzer Mountain, who will talk about ski tips and safety, along with information on the new Sky House. Additional guests will include organizers of the upcoming production of A Christmas Carol, a musical. So we'll see you at 8 a.m. right back here at 88.5 KRFY. And on Thursday, we have hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guests will be Debbie Love from the Bonner County Food Bank, another very important effort year-round, but especially at this time of year. Next Tuesday, on the Tuesday morning show with Julie and myself, we'll be joined by Jeff Thompson, the new executive director of the Panhandle Avalanche Center. We'll be talking about the new creation of that organization or the new evolution of that organization, along with some backcountry ski tips.
That should be a good show. Just a bit more about the Christmas Carol happening at the Panada from the 16th through the 18th, the 22nd, and then 23rd. That's locally produced by kids from the area, so you might want to check that out. You can find out more about that, again, at the Panada at panada.org.
Other events coming up this weekend, Julie?
Oh, we sure do. There is no shortage of events, everyone. Something on the 18th is the Amal the Night Visitor. All are welcome to enjoy the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint's first children's opera production, Amal and the Night Visitor. And that's going to be at 2 p.m., the matinee, and then the evening show at 5 p.m. again on the 18th. That will be at the First Lutheran Church on Olive Street. So that's kind of a cool one. And finally, we might all want to, on the 19th, join the Night Sky Viewing Program. Enjoy a night sky astronomy viewing program for families at 6:30 in the Great Northern Park. It's a weather-dependent program, and for more information, you can contact Suzanne at the East Bonner County Library District. That's at 263-6930, extension 1211.
And as a reminder to our listeners, if you're out of the listening area, you can always listen to us live streaming audio at krfy.org. A podcast of the morning show is usually available the day of or the day after. So if you only caught part of this morning show and you want to hear the rest of it, you can go to krfy.org and listen to the podcast. We're going to go out with a little bit of Elvis Presley, his number one hit from 1962. He was at the top of the UK charts with Return to Sender. Have a good week, everybody.